chilling hours and minutes of uncertainty.
Freedom is a word I read at you.
relinquish the feeling that I get when I see her. Oh yeah, when I see her. Oh yeah, that's the time. That's the time. Is the color of my true love's hair in the morning. Through 33 iconic theatres and halls, all the way down to St. Ives in Cornwall, where Gypsy Dave and I, at 16 and a half years young, plotted to invade popular culture. It's true. But way up there in the north I started, and as I came down, we swung over to the east coast and did Scarborough. Now Scarborough, you know what Scarborough is. It's, are you going to Scarborough Fair? So I was in Scarborough, and it's a beautiful theatre that I remember singing in two or three times. A spa, they called it, by the sea. And the sea was rolling in as I came off the stage. All the people went home, and I came out late that night, and there was a young man sitting right there outside the backstage door by the sea, and he said, "You didn't sing the Alamo." And I said, "You're right, I didn't." And those two iconic albums from 1965, I made a promise that the first part of my concerts, and I go around the world thanking all of you for 50 years of support, that first part of my concert, which is now, I would dive into those two iconic first albums. And especially, I'm singing the Alamo every night. So here it comes, the Alamo. Thank you. sweat in his eye. For Texas and freedom, a man was more willing to die. But they're much older, and in Ireland, those stories are known as Finn MacCool and the Red Branch Knights, and the Silver Branch Seeing, and magical elements in myths and legends and fairy tales are not for children. Myths and legends and fairy tales are the world's way of presenting to the human race, and as we grow, this journey is a map of your own journey, your own heroic approach to life. So my second album was called Fairy Tale, and more I understood that I came from this tradition of the bardic philosophers that were poets and musicians as well. And as I was thinking at 18, 17, this song came about the goddess, known to some as Guinevere. Guinevere of the royal court of Hafthah, draped in white velvet, silk and lace, the rustle of her gown on the marble staircase sparkles on fingers slender and pale. The jester, he sleeps, but the raven, he peeps through the dark rock, foreboding skies of the royal domain. Maroon colored wine from the vineyards of Charlemagne is sipped by the queen's lip, and so gently indigo eyes in that just there he sleeps, but the raven he peeps through the dark, foreboding skies or the royal fairy tales and legends. I met Sean Phillips in London, a Texan in Britain, and he is the duet guitar on the early album Fairy Tale of those two iconic first albums. And he also a great songwriter, and he took a tale from the Hans Christian Andersen collection. And as we grow from a very early age, from child to early teen to late teen to mature adult to lover and mother and father and middle age and old age and passing again back into the invisible world, the tales all over the world tell the same story. These are the maps that you can travel during your life, not for children, for everyone. This particular one, the Hans Christian Andersen tale that Sean took and put this beautiful melody to, and I recorded, me and Linda, I identify in one part of our journey with the tale, and the tale is called The Fairy Tale of the Little Tin Soldier.
Tiny hands, and then one day they met again.
in a house in the land of fire. When the clocks on the wall struck the midnight hour, they jumped into the fire. For the fire lord, he is the fire of love, just like that peaceful love. They asked me in the interviews, how do you describe your music and the longevity and its amazing potency 50 years later? I say, I think that's for you to say, but sometimes I feel sorry for the journalist, and I tell the story that in Sundance, in the film festival in Utah, I was there 1 year, and BMI took a lunch at a table in a restaurant and invited music supervisors, those that choose songs for movies, TV, and commercials. Movies was this lunch. I encourage my songs in movies. They're very dramatic, and also huge audiences of young people watch movies, TV, and watch commercials. And this will lead them to listening to my music and all the deeper songs in the albums. That's another story. But there at that lunch, a young man, music super from New Jersey, leaned over to me and he said, "The reason why we love your music, Donovan, in our films is because of its hopeful melancholy." It's not a bad description. In the Donovan song, there is this feeling of melancholy. And I don't mean dissatisfaction, sadness, grief, anxiety. No, melancholy is a very quiet, special kind of feeling. It's insidious and draws you into this mood of melancholy. But in the Donovan song, winding its way up around the melancholy is hope. And this is the true ancient Gaelic poetic tradition. We all feel it, but we need to know that we can overcome it. See if you can identify some hopeful melancholy in this song. It's called Jersey, and it's got a chorus, and it's from those two early albums. And by the way, tonight you won't be more than 2 or 3 songs from one of my big hit records. So don't panic. Or feel melancholy. Jersey is a chorus. Now, a Donovan chorus, I've been told, when you sing along to it, it makes you breathe differently. Here's the chorus, right? Jersey, I won't feel you. I won't feel you. Have no fear, Josie, I won't fear you. Give me one more chance, the day is near. The meadows, they are bursting, the yellow corn lies in your hand. With the night Kings, the Who, the Hollies, John Sebastian over here, Johnny Mitchell, all these singer-songwriters. There was a time when we actually could go to each other's houses and spend some time together and share what we were writing. And that changed after 67, when fame grabbed us by the back of the neck and dragged us into the super fame. So some of these stories you'll hear, but they're talking about an idyllic time in 66. I'll tell you a tale. It was late summer, the Edgemere Road in the centre of London was absolutely empty. No cars, no people, no noises. You could hear the birds singing in the trees. Where would you find that now? In a major city in the Western world. It was quiet. I was in my little flat, sitting cross-legged, writing songs. Oh, by the way, this cross-legged thing, which I've done many times, I thought I'll do the 50th like this, because this is how all the songs of all the big rock songs that you know from the 60s and 70s, pretty much all of them, were written by songwriters sitting around cross-legged on cushions or flat on their bloody back with acoustic guitars. All of the songs that you know, this is how they began. And I know even the Zeppelin did this, because I checked with Jimmy Page. He said, of course, Tom, you can't set up a full rock band in your front room to write songs. So that's why I'm doing it like this. But I was doing it that late summer, cross-legged, writing songs, a little Swiss tape recorder that I bought, reel-to-reel, beautiful little job, and a very professional mic. And I was just writing there, the Edgemere Road, totally empty, can't hear a car, a person, or anything. It's a Sunday, the sun is shining. Then the doorbell rings. Ding, dong. So I go to the door, I open the door, and it's Paul McCartney. He's got a guitar around his neck. And he's got the suit that you know him for now, with the white shirt, no tie. And he's got this guitar, and he looks at me, and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm writing songs, what are you doing?" "I'm writing songs too, can I come in?" So in comes Paul, off with the shoes, sits cross-legged, like I told you, and I said, "What have you got?" He said, "I've got this." And he sings, "Olin the Tungy, blowing his mind in the dark with a pipe full of clay. What can you say, Olin the Tungy?" And I say, "Who's Olin the Tungy?" He said, "Oh, it's a bloke I'm reading about in a book." But of course, this would become Eleanor Rigby. Any old rays, by the way, would work. You just patch them on to the melodies that are rising. And then the doorbell rang again. Ding dong. So I go to the door, open the door, and it's an 18-year-old young English Bobby, a policeman. And he's standing, fully dressed in his uniform, at my door. Paul comes over and leans over my shoulder and looks at the young Bobby, and the young Bobby looks at Paul, comes to full attention, and salutes. I turn to Paul and say, "Is this how it is with you guys?" He said, "I'm afraid it is, Don. At the moment, we're like royalty." And then we look at the policeman again. He could be no more than 18, this young man. And he looks at Paul and he says, "Is that your car downstairs, Mr. McCartney? An Aston Martin?" "Yeah. With one wheel on the pavement and the other three on the road." "Yeah." "And the door open?" "Yeah." "And the radio playing?" "Yeah." And then the Bobby looks at Paul and says, "Well, if you give me the keys, Mr. McCartney, I'll park it for you." So Paul gives him the keys. I shut the door. Paul sits down cross-legged again, and the real reason why Paul's come round begins. He goes, "I've got this kid song, and I'm missing a line, and you're the king of the kid songs, Don, so maybe you could help me." I say, "Paul McCartney's missing a line in one of his songs, okay?" Now I know, round the corner, his little Bijou house in St. John'swood, he's got a piano, and if he fell on the piano, by the time he picked himself up, he'd have written three tunes. We were all three songs a day then, the Beatles and I. But I remembered then, there are holes in Beatles songs. Sometimes Ringo throws in a word or two, and sometimes Big Mel Evans, the road manager, he would throw in a line. So, okay, what is it? And he goes, "In the town lived a man who's out of the sea." So it's Yellow Submarine, and it's coming. And then he says, "And I'm missing a bit here. La la la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Can you think of something, Don?" So I was feeling a bit flattered, a bit wondering, could I do it right here? I said, "Give me a moment." So I went in the bedroom with my guitar and came back with this. "Sky of blue and sea of green in a yellow submarine." Paul said, "That'll do." And then the doorbell rings. Ding dong. They both go, open the door. It's the young Bobby. And he gives the keys to Paul. "Here's your keys, Mr. McCartney." And we're silent, watching this. And he comes to full attention, the young Bobby. Salutes one more time. And is gone. We shut the door. And another very sleepy, late 1966 adventure comes to a close for Paul McCartney and Donovan writing songs. But that little yellow submarine is not really a child's toy. It's a symbolic description of the life that these four guys on the Beatles were more and more being drawn into. A life in an ivory tower separated from the rest of the world through their extraordinary fame. And all their friends were aboard, and many more of them lived next door. But those were the friends that the only ones they could know, like me and a few others, who would not give them all celebrity and fame. A very difficult situation indeed. But that little yellow submarine, on the other hand, has brought millions of young people great joy and great good feelings. So let's say, yeah, to Yellow Submarine. But all my singles are different, especially this one. Jennifer, Jennifer lives upon the meadow. Jennifer, Jennifer, sitting very still. Is she sleeping? I don't think so. Is she breathing? Yes, very low. What you doing, Jennifer, my love?
Lives upon the hill. Jennifer, Jennifer.
Thank you. All the singles, very different from each other. Especially this one. This one called There Is a Mountain. This is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. This is a mountain, then there is no mountain, now you're ten. It's a snail, that's what it is. Lock up on my garden gate. It's a snail, that's what it is. Yeah, man. First it is a mountain, and there is no mountain, now you're ten. First it is a mountain, and there is no mountain, and there is. Caterpillar shed his skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar shed his skin to find that butterfly within. First it is a mountain, and there is no mountain. Oh, yeah, man. First it is a mountain, and there is no mountain. One more time. First it is a mountain, and there is no mountain. Then there is. First it is a mountain, and is no mountain, then there. Oh, Juanita. Oh, Juanita. Oh, Juanita. I call your name. Oh, snow could be a blinding sight to see us in our bunk on the inside. Everybody, first it's a mountain, then is no mountain. We're on the beach now in Jamaica. First it is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Yeah, man, now. First it is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Then there is. First it is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Then there is. Dedicated to you this song, Donovan, because the title has got our part of our name in it. I'll come back after the 20 minutes, lots more stuff. So here's the song, sing along if you will, and it's called Donna, Donna.
They laugh and love the whole day through.
Donna, Donna, Donna. Donna, Donna, Donna. Donna, 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 Donna. Stop complaining, said the farmer, who told you what I'd to be. Why can't you have wings to fly with, like that swallow so proud and free? How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. They laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half this summer's night. Can you see? Easily bound and slaughtered, never knowing the reason why. He who ever treasures freedom, like that swallow, has learned to fly. How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all. They laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half this summer's night. Donna, 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 Donna.
Democracy, he's fighting for the Reds. He said.
says it's for the peace of us all. He's the one who must decide who's to live, who's to die. He never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him in Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. Without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the only blessed soldier that any really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we fed the end to relative or friends coaxed onto the chair, and they'd sing their one song. Everyone had their one song. There was no guitar, no piano, because in the 17th century in Scotland, John Knox, the preacher, he said, instruments are the instruments of the devil. But it didn't stop the singing and it didn't stop the dancing. And everybody seemed to be brought up on the fact that they could sing a cappella with no instrument. Under the table with my cousins, with the shandy, listening and watching this was amazing. My mother and her four sisters were incredible singers. They sang traditional songs, so each of them carried one song that they preserved. That's what hundreds, thousands of Scottish families were doing, and Irish. And when I heard the ladies sing the women's songs, it became clear that though for hundreds of years, especially in Scotland, women wrote their own songs, and yet we were never told this. I mean hundreds of these songs, and in the tradition, these ladies that the songs were singing about were very independent indeed, and they had opinions, but they were still, of course, part of a system. So this one particularly I remembered. Imagine I'm a 24-year-old, young, noble lady, hundreds of years ago, married to a boy who is too young. The trees, they do grow high, the leaves, they do grow green. Many's the time, my love, I've seen. Many the hour, I watched him all alone. He's young, but he's daily growing.
Lord, for you to wait upon. He's young, but he's dead.
I'll send them to college for 1 year yet. I'll tie blue ribbons all around his head to let the maidens know that he's mine. At the age of 14, he was a married man. The age of 15, the father of a son. The age of 16, the grass grew over him. Cruel death soon put an end to his growing. The trees, they do grow high, the leaves, they do grow green. Many's the time, my love, I've seen. Many the hour, I watched him all alone. He's young, but he's daily growing. You see, art school was much more interesting. The girls were more interesting in art school. The boys were much more interesting to the girls. There was painting and pottery and poetry. There was jazz and blues and folk and classical. There was literature, philosophy, and there were the ancient, wonderful books of yoga and meditation. And so most of the songwriters that I know were painters. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, he's a painter. George Harrison, definitely. Pete Townsend of The Who, great painter. Charlie Watts, the drummer, he's an artist too. In America, there's Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen's a painter. Jimi Hendrix, great painter. Didn't paint much, he said. And I saw some of them. Very symbolic, beautiful. But what happened? Well, when we put the paintbrush down and picked up the guitar, all of that stuff went into the songs, you see. Like Lennon's song, picture yourself on a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. And me too, with many a song, with the painterly attitude. Especially this single called Where You Love Like Heaven. Colored pink sky, blush and blue, scarlet, please change us here. Crimson ball sinks from view.
Where do you love my girl?
believe what I see. All I have wished for will be. All our dreams proud and free. Everything burst into color, and I wonder why. But before that, 64 and 65 was definitely black and white. And Gypsy Dave and I, when we first met in the jazz club in 62, was it, or 3, he said to me, "The human race, mentally ill, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How do we know?" I said, "Okay, 2 world wars," and he said, "A depression," and I said, "Nuclear bombs, yeah," and then he said, "And the systematic destruction of the ecosystem." Right. Then we both said, almost together, "Are these the acts of the most advanced species on the planet?" And we just said, "Yeah." Then some mental illness. Now where can we find out how that mental illness began, and is there a possible cure? And there's only one place to go, Bohemia. Not the country. But the nearest Bohemia, we had to hitchhike to. And that's where all the older Bohemians were, who were also pouring out of the art schools for the last 150 years. All of the modern difficulties, all the modern solutions were cooking in Bohemia. And that was what Gypsy Dave and I dedicated ourselves to. How do you invade popular culture with a Bohemian manifesto? That's what happened in the 60s. This element of Gyp and I and others exploding into popular music and taking it over. But the whole thing about being black and white in 64 and 65, let me tell you, it was like a 1950s comedy movie in black and white. I don't know whether you had them in the States, but we had tons of them. It wouldn't take long. It didn't take long for after washing dishes, Gypsy and I washing dishes on the beach, 9 months later to be in the same room with the Beatles and Bob Dylan. It was an intention. But very soon, I was in 65 playing live. This is how the life was. Can you imagine? You go out to listen to some music. You might play, on the bill might be the Rolling Stones, the Hollies, the Kinks, the Who. In the Summer Seasons, the Walker Brothers. You ever hear the Walker Brothers? Yeah. 2 American guys doing really good in Britain in 65. And so when you went to see a show, all of us just did 2 songs each. It's hard to imagine, huh? One after another. And often you couldn't hear the music because the girls were screaming. Like this. But it was mad. Gypsy and I, soon enough, I was playing at the Summer Season in Blackpool, on the bill would be me, the Who, the Hollies, the Walker Brothers, a comedian and a ventriloquist. I'm not kidding you. When we got in the taxi, after we got out of the train, went to the B&B, checked in, went down to the fairground, had a few runarounds in the old Dodgems, had fish and chips, and then got in the taxi and went down to the pier for the gig, where I'm going to do 2 songs. We're in the taxi. There's the pier. There's the Christmas Cake Theatre at the end of the pier. And down the pier are 200 screaming 16, 14-year-old girls waiting for us. At this end of the pier, there are 2 pier policemen, but they're not really cops. But they've got rubberized coats. They've got a pink cap with the Blackpool Pier around here. We're in the taxi here, there's another taxi with the Walker Brothers in it, who's just pulled up to the pier. These 2 police guys, they've got a box on wheels. Gypsy and I go, so these guys push the box up to the taxi with the Walker Brothers in it, open the doors of the box, open the doors of the taxi, and then say to the boys, "All right, lads, in the box." So in go the Walker brothers, shut the box, big box. Then the two peer policemen nonchalantly push it down through the 200 screaming fans. And the girls are doing this on the box. And Gypsy and I laughing. Then Gyp looks at me and says, "We're next." Right, the taxi goes off, our taxi pulls up. Two poor policemen, they got the box. They push the box up to the taxi, open the taxi drawers, open the box doors. "All right, lads, in the box." So in we go. Box gets shut, slowly, pushing it down through the girls. And when inside, we see that there are holes cut all the way around so we can breathe. And all the little girls' fingers are going... like this. So then we get pushed down through the girls, get to the theatre, doors open, in goes Jude, in goes Don, box doors shut, we're in. Go to the dressing room. Next dressing room is the Who, then the Hollies, then the Walker Brothers. That's right. And then the ventriloquist, the comedian. So Jib and I get in the dressing room and we roll a joint. Later, Graham Nash says, when he's with Crosby, Stills and Nash and the future, he says, "I remember that gig, Don. I was in the Hollies and we were all in suits. And we said to each other, there's that naughty Gyp in Don, and you can smell it coming up the corridor." When I was talking about this, I'm only talking about a totally safe, ancient plant used for healing by tribal communities forever. And it's healing today and being accepted as such. I'm not promoting drugs tonight. It's not hard stuff. By the way, all those bands in those days, they didn't smoke, only bohemians did, and jazz, and blues, and folk musicians. Because all they did was amphetamine and alcohol. She loves you. All that jumpy stuff, you know. So, we've had the joint, I go on stage. Now, this is the bit of the story where I don't even believe it, okay? So I get on, and I do a Catch the Wind. And as I'm singing, a drop of water hits my eye. Must be raining outside. Gypsy looks from the wings. He goes, "Keep singing. Okay, Catch the Wind." Another drop of water hits my eye. He said, "Must be really raining outside. And this old theatre has got a hole in the roof." And then a real strong jet of water. And I look down into the orchestra pit, and there's Roger Daltrey and Keith Moon of the Who with plastic water pistols. I don't believe it either. But then it's over, and Jeff says, "Let all the other guys go. The peer policemen are gone. There's no box, and yet there's still at least 100, about 70 girls waiting on the pier." So Jeff says, "This is how we're going to do it. Just jump out of the door. We'll go like crazy down the pier. They'll be following us, but as we get closer to the sand, at one point, Don, I'm going to tell you, right, jump." And we'll both jump over into the sand. The girls won't know where we've gone. We'll run all the way along the prom to our bed and breakfast. I said, "That sounds like a good plan, Jim." Right, he said, "Out we go." So, boom, onto the pier. Boom, boom, start footing it. And the girls will start running after us, screaming like that. Halfway down the pier, Jim stops. I said, "What are you stopping for?" He said, "Maybe we should let them catch us." He said, "There's some pretty girls there." I said, "Jim, some of them have got scissors in their hands. If you stop them," and this was the big problem, "they hurt themselves. We usually don't, but you can't stop them." Jim said, "Yeah, you're right. Keep running." Boom, 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 boom. The beach gets closer. The pier gets closer to the beach, and suddenly Jim said, "Jump!" And over we go. Poof, we're on the sand. The sun's gone down already. It's quite dark. The girls don't know where we've gone. Gypsy and I were just about to get up, and I was just about to run, and he's sitting in the sand. I said, "What are you waiting for, Chip?" He said, "I've dropped that little bit of ash." I said, "You'll never find it in the sand." He said, "I will. You go on. I will." So I jump on the promenade and start footing it. Some girls run, but they give up the chase, and I'm running on my own. It's dark. The sea's coming in on the right. It's really nice. Sea breezes. All the way along the prom, there are little places where you can sit when the sun's too hot. And every now and again, a urinal if you want to piss. And you have one in there. For the men, of course. As I'm running on my own, I realize there's another young guy running after me. Not a girl, but running with me, not after me. And he's running along like this. And he grabs me by the arm, pulls me into one of the urinals. And I fancied to piss then. And so did he. And we started peeing up against the china. And I turn around and I look at this guy. And it's Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. And he said, I'm running for my gig across town as well. So he said, but I'm going to B&B, I'm going to see Billy Fury. Come with us, because Billy Fury, he's running across the town from his girlfriends as well. It's like a hard day's night, you know that? But it's happening all over town. So I arrive at the B&B, Peter Noon knows where it is. We go in, and there's Billy Fury. Now this is one of the British rock stars, beautiful young man, great rock haircut, pink jacket, green pants, probably pink suede shoes. And there's Billy Fury, sitting, having a cup of tea with a B&B old lady. I mean, this is really rock and roll, circa 1965. And then we sit down, so Peter Noon, Donovan, Billy Fury, having a nice cup of tea of an evening by the sea. And then Gypsy walks in. I said, how do you know I was here? How did you find me? He said, oh, I've got my ways. And so he sits down, and he gets his cup of tea too. And at one point, he leans over, and he says, I found the little bit of hash. And that's that. But soon that cure for the mentality and the sickness and the mental illness of humanity became for the 60s a major subject of discussion. And there really was a cure, and there really is a reason for this illness. Soon Gypsy Dave and I, John Paul, George and Ringo, and one beach boy were headed out to India to study under the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And while I was there, I finished the song, it's the Hurdy Gurdy Man. Ha 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 ha. To see a performance. I believe it was a Hawaiian couple. But this is a fantastic thing. It's very, very rare in the world today. And of course, that's why I want to introduce you to my guitar, my instrument. Her name is Kelly. She's an Irish girl. She was made by Danny Farrington, who's an American luthier. That's what guitar makers are called, luthiers. And Danny made this beautiful, beautiful instrument for me, and the motifs are based on a 12th century manuscript sitting today in Trinity College in Dublin. A 1,200-year-old manuscript from the 8th century, painted by those Gallic monks in those monasteries way back then. The green here, this viridian green, is as green as you see it now in that manuscript. How? 1,200 years? This Rowanberry red, as red as you see it now, is in that book. A lapis lazuli blue, which is very worn down by the way. That blue is as brilliant as you see it there in that manuscript. But why do guitars have ladies' names? Is it because of the pêche? Is it because you can hold a guitar quite close? Can't do that with a piano. You can also take a guitar to bed if you haven't yet finished your song. And it happened on more than one occasion when Linda was asleep in the big bed in the little cottage in Hertfordshire. I was writing the song on the carpet, getting sleepier and sleepier. Crept into bed with my guitar then, and Linda said, "Get her out of this room." Finished the song on the carpet. And why do guitars have ladies' names? Now, I was at a party, flash forward, 2 or 3 years ago, in Ireland, overlooking the sea at Gordon's. The actor, Woody Harrelson, was there. I was driving him around. For a while, I wondered why. Then somebody, Gordon, said, he's playing a big football soccer fundraiser in Britain, and he won the only goal, Woody. And we were having a great time at this party, and we were talking, playing guitar, and talking about why do guitars have ladies' names. And a friend of ours in the audience, Fran, English, funny, comedian, really, she said, I know why guitars have ladies' names. And the whole party turned around. I said, okay, tell us, Fran. Fran stood up and said, guitars have ladies' names because there's always strings attached. So now we know why. And then when Kelly arrived in my arms, Danny delivered her, she would only play Irish and Scottish tunes. I said, this will never do, Kelly. So I said to Kelly, let's try to write our first song. We'll stir the pot, the cauldron of the Gaelic songs, and see if something comes out. And we'll do this, Kelly. We'll write a song, half Irish, half Scottish, and half Donovan. Well, she was only young. She couldn't count yet. So I was having fun with this until the song emerged. And it touched me so much, took me all the way back to the very first early love I felt in the song making when I was 17, 18. And it's called The Promise, and I never will record it, only play it live. And it's like this. Love is a sorrow, love is a sigh. Love was the spark in your hazel eye. I was the dreamer, you were the dream. My life seemed so perfect, or so it did seem. That night as I lay on my lonely bed, dreaming of you and the words you said, oh my love, I will come when the flowers bloom and the birdies sang in the tree. The snow fell soft, silent and deep. I hope against hope, the promise you will over the mountain, over the sea. No letters of love do you send to me. That night as I lay on my lonely bed, thinking of you and the words you said, oh my love, I will come when the flowers bloom and the birdies sing in the tree. Springtime is here, and the leaves are green. tears are seen, no joy do I feel. You are not here by my side. I wait for you to appear.
Dropping tears in when he thought I was asleep. He lay his fur coat round my shoulder and shivered there beside me in a heap. Who's got to be the one to say it was no good what we done, hitchhike? I dare a man to say I'm too young. I'm going to try for the sun. Mirror, mirror, hanging in the sky, won't you look down what's happening here below? I stand here singing to the flowers, so very few people really know. Who's got to be the one to say it was no good what we done to check? I stare about to say I'm too young. I'm going to try for the sun.
Very quickly, as I said, and in 1966, was it a plane? Is it a bird? No, it's a sunshine Superman.
You're going to be mine, I'll tell you right.
Aboard, and all the sailors saluted me, just like Paul. And then after lunch, he took me to the front of the ship, and he said, "Oh, why don't you tell me this in private?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm the universal sailor, and I wanted to tell you, it doesn't work." I said, "What doesn't work?" He said, "Smoking banana skins." There was this story going around that if you dry banana skins, put them in the oven, dry them, roll them, smoke them. It's a legal high. Gypsy and I, at first we laughed, then we scratched our heads, and then we wondered, what's going on? So this means thousands of people in all institutions and schools saying, this is legal, it's a legal high. It doesn't work. Then one day I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the baby one, before the big one, and I'm signing this book, the psychedelic rock and roll book. And there's a big line of people, and sitting next to me is Country Joe McDonald. He's got the flak jacket on, and he's signing the book too. After about 10 or 12 of these books being signed, he leans over to me and he says, it was me, man. I said, what do you mean it was you, Joe? The mellow yellow shit, man, smoking the bananas. I said, okay, Joe, once we finish, you'll come on with me. And I took him to this little room at the back of the Baby Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I sat him in a chair and I said, okay, give. So he said, okay, man, it was 1966. We put the band on a truck in Haight-Ashbury. We're going to drive around the city advertising our gig. But my girlfriend was in PR. She said, down the road, man, in this old carnival lot, there's a giant banana. So we drove down there, got the banana, put it on the truck. I said, yeah. Then he said, but my girlfriend was in PR, really. She said, let's tell the San Francisco radio stations you can get high smoking banana skins. I said, yeah, Joe. Then what? He said, ah, well, man, that prank would have lasted one weekend, but that Friday, you released Mellow Yellow. Thank you, Joe. I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's mad about me. You know this song? I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me. What's my name? They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite right, Smith. They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite right, Smith. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Saffron's mad about me.
can you sing? They call me Mellow Yellow, quite right, yeah. They call me Mellow Yellow, we just keep singing, don't stop. They call me Mellow Yellow, sing it on your own now, are you ready? My 50th anniversary party. Did you have fun? So they call me Mellow Yellow, Mellow, 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 Yellow.
Atlantis.